B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ramalama ding dong, rock and roll is king.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. And Rich is somewhere, I'm somewhere, and then everyone else has to just sit there and do what they're told.
Yep. Walk into the disease-infested petri dish that is 55 Morrissey Boulevard.
That's right, baby. They got to just sit there and make the best of it. But the things are interesting. Obviously, you're not supposed to leave the house. And the run-on of food is not obviously something that we're new to. But I have talked about this with many people. What is the sensationalism of toilet paper?
Fred, we talked about the psychology of that because, I mean, they're not going to, like, toilet paper is going to continue production. And I there was this article about how everyone's, like, completely into getting this. And there's actually a guy who came out and said, because they come in such, their package in such large bulk, it feeds that thing that people have inside of them to stockpile by grabbing that. And then when people see other people grabbing something that's in a huge bulk, everyone else wants to do the same. However, I thought at first that was kind of like a joke, but if you go to any grocery stores, like I'm sure most people did this weekend and tried to load up, you know, there's no shortage of food. Like, there's food. Now, you might not get the brand that you wanted, but there's plenty of food, but nowhere has toilet paper. Like, I mean, everyone, you could say that there's plenty of toilet paper to go around, but everyone's grabbing so much of it that it's almost impossible to find right now.
And it's the one thing that you don't need, like, if you get a 10-pack of toilet paper, unless something's desperately wrong with you, that's a month. That's like 2.5 months worth of toilet paper for a family of four.
Of all the things to get, something
that lasts for 2.5 months, that would be what you grab and you go crazy to get. I have no idea why this is happening. It is absolutely fascinating. You know, people rushing out and they're, oh boy, and the, like, doomsday guys, the guys that I know that have, you know, rooms in case the world comes to an end. Oh, are they in heaven? Oh, they're
right,
they're in heaven.
I told you so world, yep.
Oh, yeah. They love it. Even though you could go out and get food. They love it. Oh, they got their laminated sheets of what's in the closet. It's the best thing that's ever happened to them. And they have all the toilet paper you could want.
Yeah.
When it's Armageddon, that's what you're going to want is a bunch of toilet paper.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that everyone's, like, trying to stress is that, you know, you see these long lines for the grocery stores, and, like, everyone's trying to go, there's no run on food. Like, there's plenty of food, and a lot of these stores are going to be getting, like, you know, continuing to get to these deliveries, but the toilet paper thing is ridiculous. I'm telling you, with all of the stock markets thing hitting the toilet, I'm going to invest in Toto Bidets, the number one bidet company in the world, because if their sales aren't going through the roof, then I don't know what is.
All right, so you gave in and got a bidet. So you're just as loony as everyone else.
You got it.
You went and got a bidet because you were afraid of a toilet paper shortage.
I did. I ordered one, and it's not because of just the shortage. I've been a little peckish for a while. Been thinking about, you know, kind of been browsing. You know, every once in a while, late at night, when I hit the end of the internet, I might go and search the bidets and kind of rub my chin and go, hmm. And now finally, it was time to take the plunge. No pun intended. And I have not received it yet. It is on its way. I am told it will be here sometime either Wednesday or Thursday. And that means I'll get it installed by next Wednesday or Thursday.
All right. So you have to be very careful about the one you get, because some of them are not for people that are just looking to clean themselves. Some of them are built to be much more powerful than that. Yeah.
There is an adjustment on this. There's temperature and pressure, so I'm sure that I can even, you know, the kinkiest of people.
Do you know what is on the cover of it? Because I have a former coworker who bought one, and there was a very muscular man in leather that was on the cover of it.
This is nowhere near the higher end. As a matter of fact, I think mine ended up costing like $65-70. So it wasn't like a super expensive, like, you know, designer one or anything like that. But no. Listen, if it arrives with a dude, you know, on it who is, you know, dressed in leather and muscular, then I'll just know that at least it will do the trick.
That's not the way I would look at it, but nonetheless, that is fine. So, how long are we supposed to stay inside all day?
Well, at least not go out. It depends, because it's supposed to be if everyone did it for like a little over 2 weeks, that's supposed to be the thing that ultimately makes it go away. You know, that flattening the curve thing everyone's talking about. But I mean, you continue to see, you know, everyone's out and about, and finally, I mean, it was, put it this way, Saturday night, there was just an enormous amount of jackassery, and it was all these people who were out, and you saw all the bars in Southie where everyone's packed in, and everyone's, you know, like, taking pictures of themselves and putting it online, even though they knew that this is something that could obviously, you know, keep this thing spreading. Every day that everyone does that, I think, is equal to almost another week that it would take for society to get rid of this thing. So finally, because of all of that and all of those pictures that went viral, Charlie Baker had to come out and say, all right, we're closing everything. As a matter of fact, the next morning, he said that they were canceled all those places in South Boston. Like, they ended up getting shut down. Just the South Boston ones, the ones that were in all the photos because of St. Patrick's Day and all the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. And now, the announcement last night that all restaurants in Boston are to be shut down for dining in and takeout only. So, I mean, it's like, if everybody together just stays away and does their social distancing, it should take about 2.5 weeks for everything to kind of blow over. But they're saying that realistically, because there are people who go out and are continuing to, you know, just not listen, that this is something that's going to take upwards of like maybe 2 months. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at China, China is finally coming back to where people can go out. As a matter of fact, there was an interesting email that came out on Friday. If you've ever bought anything, if you've bought anything from Apple before, you're on their mailing list. You're on everyone's mailing list now. Everyone's got a Corona email list. And Apple made this announcement. They're shutting down all their stores, except they were opening the ones in China back up because they've gone through all of this. And unfortunately, it took these crazy draconian measures to get everyone to stay inside, but it worked. And this all started the middle of January, and now you're starting to see it where everyone can come back. So think about it. If it took China 2 months with them being forced to stay inside, I mean, how long is it going to take here until they have mandatory, you know, quarantines? You know what I mean? So, I mean, is this 3 months? Who knows? But it's until people continue, you know, still keep running around and going to bars and restaurants when they shouldn't be, then this thing's going to last a lot longer.
Well, that's the thing. It's about school. Is that you get, if school doesn't come back, and then you got to think about what you're going to do next year. Yeah. And you can't miss 3 months of school and then just go, oh, all right, you're on your way, because I'm incapable of teaching my kids, as I do not know any of the curriculum. So there is that as well.
Fred, you know what's been the toughest part for me, and I don't know if there's a lot of people who are doing this same thing as me. Everyone's obviously worried about their parents or grandparents, you know, the older people. So I had some of the toughest discussions that I've had in a long time with many of the older people in my life, both sides of my family, Mary's side of my family, my side of my family. Now, you understand that my family, as you know, is extremely religious. So I called them and I was telling them, hey, listen, you know, make sure you stay home, blah, blah, blah. And they would be like, yep, we know. We're supposed to stay home. Yes, yes, yes. And then I said, and that means church as well. And you would just hear this silence on the other side of the phone. And you'd hear this, Well, you know, church, I don't think that God would want us to get sick, and I think he would protect us there. And that's when you're like, are you kidding me? Do you understand? Listen, God gave you a brain, too. He, you know, he gave us scientists. He did all the... There is an older generation that is very religious, that it is becoming a thing that you can't convince them to not go to church right now. And I read this story that came out of, it might have been Reuters. I actually posted it because it was just, it hit home. And it's this one woman who was in China who it traced her going to church to her infecting 1,000 people because she went to church. It's like, it has this chart. They were able to trace where she was and all the people who were in her congregation when she was infected and how it spread. And this is a thing. Like, there's an older generation that's religious who thinks that if they go to church, they're not going to get infected. And I kept having to send my family members these stories. Like, you know, there was a priest in D.C. who was giving communion and a bunch of people who was infected and a bunch of people got infected. And I'm like, I bet all of those people thought that, you know, God was going to protect them as well. This is one of those things that you just... it was some of the most, not infuriating, but frustrating conversations that you have with someone, because it's like, how do you argue with somebody who believes God wants them to go to church, even though science and everything else is telling them not to?
Well, I think you're wrong. I think that if you go to church, God will not give you the disease.
I don't know if anybody else is dealing with this. I mean, out of all the stuff and of all the people that you know who have common sense in their head, you know, when you talk to the older generation, it is a really strange thing to try to get through to them that, man, just for the greater good, you got to stay home. And I know that I've got a friend of mine whose dad just wants to continue to play golf. And I guess that's... If you can just walk onto the course and not see anybody, then I guess that's all right. But it's the going to the clubhouse. It's the doing, you know, talking to people and being around groups of people. It's weird, man. And I don't know if anyone's got a problem or having a hard time trying to wrangle their older relatives into staying home, because they're the most, obviously, the most in danger during all of this.
All right. Rich, what do we have coming up? There's so much sports going on. It's very
exciting.
Well,
the good news is that there actually is. The NFL, rather, said, screw it, let's do it. We got free agency, and there's a lot of news on the Tom Brady front this morning.
All right, we'll have that for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sport.
Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on in the world?
Agency is here, might be great for us, but not so great for Tom Brady. Clip!
We're in the middle of March. We're about to embark upon free agency. And Tom Brady does not have anything close to a deal in New England yet. Now, I know people think, oh, he's going back to New England. What makes them think that? Why would they think that now, when this has been going on since he put the motion into place where basically he voided the contract? There haven't been any substantial contract negotiations. There hasn't been anything that resembles a deal. Why do people think now that all of a sudden, at the 24th hour, something's going to get done that hasn't gotten done in previous weeks and months? I don't understand that. And all these teams now that have been laying in wake, all are going to have their crack and chance at Tom Brady. And I know he's going to be 43, and I know he's not as young as he used to be, but he's still the greatest quarterback of all time. And other teams, for the first time in his career, are going to be allowed to talk to him and try to persuade him from leaving New England. And I think there's a real chance that somebody's going to be able to do that.
Well, after an agreement by not only the NFL, but the Players Association, that they would indeed go full steam ahead with free agency, it's looking like Tom Brady might not be the hot commodity many, including probably him, thought that he would be. Not only, as you just heard from Adam Schefter right there, saying the Patriots aren't even close to reaching a deal with him, but his potential suitors seem to be dropping like flies. One of his most likely destinations, the Tennessee Titans, announced yesterday that they're going to ride the Tannehill train right to Valhalla, baby. Jeez. 4 years, $118 million total coming his way, $62 million of that fully guaranteed, $20 million signing bonus. Congratulations, Tennessee. You just made the dumbest decision of the offseason. The implosion of Ryan Tannehill is inevitable, and I am here for it. Put me in the front row.
Scott Mitchell. I've always said that he is. No, he is not. I've always said that he had talent. He was wasted in Miami. And now, you know, the experts there in Tennessee agree.
I actually don't know what would be funnier, his implosion after they gave him all this money, or if he became like Joe Montana. Like, which one is more funny? Like, which one is like, okay, well, everything that was involved in that whole Miami experiment just sucks.
Joe Montana.
And Ryan Tannehill was this jewel. Yeah. You know, or is it they just gave him all this money, you passed up on Tom Brady, and now you just, you absolutely suck.
He took the, when he was, Adam Gase was the coach of the Dolphins, he took him to the playoffs. I'm telling you, I've always liked Tannehill. And Zolak would say I was out of my mind, and now he has the contract to prove it. Oh. I am telling you, I bet you he has a better year than Brady.
Even though they're going to give way too much. Chance. I mean, listen.
That's certainly a possibility.
He had a better year than Brady last year.
Yes.
So, I mean,
certainly considering Brady's decline, and he is declining, it is certainly a possibility that Tannehill is at least as good.
Well, so there's one Brady suitor down, and according to Chris Sims, you can mark another one even off the list.
The 49ers are out on Tom Brady. That is not going to happen. In my understanding, it was Tom Brady's number one choice was to go to San Francisco and be the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know what happened, but something happened in the last few days to my understanding, to find out that the 49ers are out on Tom Brady and they will be standing pat with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback.
Oh, man, you just knew it when you heard those rumors, that all that talk, you knew it came straight from Tom Brady. That's where he wanted to go. And the 49ers said, nah, we like the young, slightly better-looking Brady that we have here, thank you, instead.
Slightly.
Almost a dreamboat. Come on.
I mean, come on. And you're going to ignore the age difference? I mean, Garoppolo's still a tight young stud. But I will tell you this, is that this has got to be humiliating for Brady.
It's tough.
Really's got to be humiliating that it looks like the only team that's all in is Tampa. And so he's got to make a decision between a team that he was on for 20 years that doesn't particularly want him, and then Tampa Bay. And yeah, for all the people who said he won't go to Tampa Bay, I can't picture him in Tampa Bay, it's going to be bad in Tampa Bay. Really, for pride's sake, you'd think that you would go to Tampa Bay.
Are we sure the Chargers and the Raiders are out?
You see, I was just about to ask that because, like, I mean, there was the report that came out that it's down to two Patriots in Tampa, but I mean, did the Chargers and the Raiders just kind of disappear this weekend? I don't understand why they are like a reality, especially the Chargers. Like now it seems, Fred, like you're right. You kind of got to take away the Brady would never play there, because the places that he wants to play, probably the Titans and the 49ers, are out. You know, now it's more like, do you want to take the pennies that you're going to be given, relatively speaking, here with the Patriots, or do you want to go someplace where you're going to make a decent amount of money? And, you know, the Raiders are a pretty good team as far as what they're able to put around them. So it's now kind of like, you're right, Fred. I was thinking about this, too. What if nobody wants Tom Brady? Like, what if nobody wanted him? Like, maybe there's a team that would pay, like, the low 20s, but what if all that talk of $30 million a year was thrown out there by Brady's camp, and that number really never existed with other teams? Like, what if nobody really wanted him that much?
Yeah, Tampa Bay has made overtures that they would pay that, but, I mean, there might be other teams that lowball him or don't want him at all, and then you got to retire. I mean, you can't come back for less money. You can't come back for a 1 year deal that's less money. I mean, you got to have a certain amount of pride.
There's part of me that thinks he'll spin it and the team will spin it as if, like, I could never not be on the Patriots, and it didn't matter. I took a cut so I could get some good players around me, and I did what's best for the team. You know, this can all be spun one way where it's rah rah rah, nobody's feelings are hurt.
It can be spun up to a point.
Yeah, Tampa Bay has more weapons. I mean, he can go to Tampa Bay and win. He won't throw 30 interceptions. So he can go to Tampa Bay and
win. You're saying he won't be Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb and say that he's not going to be Jameis Winston. But they have better talent. They have better skill position players.
Well, so needless to say, Fred, today is the day Brady can talk to all these guys. That's right. It's the old legal tampering period that begins at noon. And Brady and the rest of the free agents can officially sign with new teams this Wednesday at 4 p.m. But outside of Tom Brady, one of the biggest questions many people have been asking is, what's up with the Twins?
Do you have the
What's
drop?
Up, everybody? We're back. A special edition, double coverage with the McCourty Twins. I don't know what it's going to be, but my options picked up. I will be back for season 3 of double coverage.
Breaking news. I will be back also for season 3 of double coverage. I will be staying here in New England to play alongside this guy. Sign me up. Someone that says, sources says Devin McCourty's going to return. Make sure y'all put the source as double Hashtag coverage. Double coverage. Breaking news here. See you in 2020, New England.
And you heard it first from Hashtag Double Coverage. It looks like the Patriots are keeping the Twins. Jason and Devin McCourty both sticking around. Jason's execution was already executed. And Devin, he gets 2 years, $23 million, 17 guaranteed. That's a pretty good deal for everyone
well,
involved.
He didn't get, no, that, I mean, he didn't take a pay cut.
That's what I'm saying. How much did he make last year?
I mean, he's getting what's basically high end safeties are making.
Well, there was talk that he could have made up to $14 million a year. So the fact that they got him for, you know, $23 million is a pretty good deal for the Patriots. And, of course, it sounds like they wanted him the whole time anyway. I think it was almost like the minute the CBA was agreed to, they ended up signing him to that deal.
Guys, so the last contract from McCourty was 5 years, $47.5 million. So that's a little less than what he's making now, although, of course, now it's a shorter-term deal.
By the way, Jason McCourty, how dare he get in the same, try to put himself in the same conversations as Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty's like, I make like 45 times what you make. How dare you come in here and try to take, be in this video? You mean nothing. Come on.
Also, how does it feel to have another 2 years of Matthew Slater? If you want. But the future Hall of Famer just got himself a 2-year deal worth $5.3 million. Here's to great locker room speeches through 2022. So they're shoring up stuff right now. And you think this is all a way for them to, you know, when they go to Brady, say, well, look, we just gave out all this money to all these guys. We don't really have a ton left for you. Another negotiating technique?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go to – well, no, I think it's the opposite. I think that they go to him and they go, we resign Slater. You know, we're going to win. We have our gunner. Come on. We're going to win for sure. And so then Brady looks and he goes, they have Slater and they have Jason McCourty. I can't say no. No. Yeah. So they spend money. Yeah. It's just money that's not going to go to Brady. Basically.
Well, after John Wallach's headlines, we will get to the brand new rules and the brand new things that were agreed to in the NFL CBA. And also, the NBA comes out with a contingency plan for when all this coronavirus stuff ends.
All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Free Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
The NFL and the Players Association, they reached a new CBA. What does that mean? Well, a buttload more football, apparently. Looks like we're getting a 17-game regular season, an expanded playoff field, with only the top seed in each conference getting a bye and a second wild card game. Also, an increase in minimum salaries and revenue share for players. This thing squeaked by. I don't know if you saw the numbers, but the voting, it was like determined by, I mean, like 60 votes, I think, was between a yay and a nay.
Yep.
And one of the best things that came out of all of this being approved was that the Players Association said, hey, now that the ball is rolling, we don't want you to move free agency back. Their opinion was, no one is traveling anyway. It's not football activity. It's deals. Everyone is working remotely right now. Let's do our business remotely, and this could get worse before it gets better, so do it now. And to that I say, absolutely, and thank you. You've given us something this week that we can actually talk about sports-wise. So good for them. And
that
would
be
right.
Even more embarrassing when the Jets don't make the playoffs.
Which is weird, too, because I saw this. Speaking of the Jets, so I don't know what they're thinking is going to happen free agency-wise, but have you seen the new Vegas regular season win totals that they predicted? This came out just last night. So this has got some of the recent news, you know, breaking. They have a better idea probably of where some of these players are going to go, especially after the Tannehill thing and Brady. But if you take a look at the AFC East, here's their over-unders that they have. They get the Dolphins at 6 wins. That sounds about right. The Jets at 6 wins. That sounds about right. The Bills at 8 wins.
Really?
And the Patriots at 9.
Only 8 wins for Buffalo?
Yep. Yeah,
these seem very low.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jets won 7 games last year, and Darnold had mono for 4 of them.
How many quarterbacks did they run through earlier in the season?
What, the Jets?
Yes. Luke Falk.
2 or 3. Yeah. The 2 or 3, like, morons. Yeah. So that's, and they won 7 games. That seems very low.
What does 9 games say to you for the Patriots?
It's that they're not going to be very good.
But no, but I mean, as far as roster's concerned, like, what does that say to you?
It says that they maybe don't believe that Brady's coming back.
You see, to me, I think it's different. I think it says they think Brady is coming back, but they're not going to make any moves around him.
Don't forget the schedule. They have to play the NFC West next season. Seattle. You know, I mean, they have some really tough road games.
But 9? I mean, when is the last... John, when is the last time you think the over-under on the Patriots was 9?
It's been at least since before Belichick showed up, or since Belichick showed up that first season. It's been 20 years.
To me, I can't figure out whether or not Brady's not coming back, or it means he's coming back, but they don't have any plans to make any further moves.
I mean, Brady is in decline. He's not the quarterback he once was, and I still maintain that he's slightly above average. You know, it's somewhere in the 10 to 15 range of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And you have the very tough schedule where you have to play a tough NFC division. And, you know, Kansas City's a little bit better. And I got to be honest with you, 9 sounds about right, maybe 10 at this point.
By the way, the NFC West, you're talking about how it's a tough division to play. I mean, you look at the 49ers, they've got the Niners at 10.5, Seahawks at 9.5, and the Rams at 9. So, I mean, that is going to be a pretty tough one. Leaders in the AFC and the NFC, any guesses?
The AFC is Kansas City.
Tied with another AFC team.
Tennessee?
Nope.
Kansas City.
The Titans, they have the Titans at 8.5.
They're not in on Tannehill, Fred.
No, as a matter of fact.
They don't believe in Tannehill.
Jump Titans, on the Tannehill train, baby.
They don't believe
it
in
ain't
Titans.
Too late.
Texans, I think they agree with all of us that he's just going to all of a sudden turn back into a pumpkin.
No.
Turn back into a big, goofy-looking pumpkin.
There's no way, baby. You get on that Tannehill train. It's going to be too late in September. You're going to see.
Yeah, AFC South, like, weak as hell. They got the Titans, Texans, and Colts all at 8.5. I say that looking at the AFC East. That's weak as hell. You've got in the AFC West, obviously the Chiefs at 11.5, and of course the Ravens at 11.5. Both of those teams, they've got a ton. As far as the NFC, it looks here like the Niners and the Saints, both with the highest win-loss records at 10.5, according to Vegas. It's so funny. I mean, think about that. You got the Saints with Drew Brees coming back, and let's assume that they think Tom Brady's coming back, and they've got a game and a half more predicted for the Saints than they do for the Patriots.
Because they're not going to have any weapons, and like John said, Brady's in decline. I mean, more than Brees.
His fault. No receivers.
That's right. It wasn't his fault, even though they've used top picks on skill position players and went out and got Mohamed Sanu. It is not his fault.
Well, Mohamed Sanu was playing with torn... what was the deal? It was injury he had? He was playing with an injury.
I'm sure that's the reason he was terrible.
It could be. I mean, that's a big... I mean, it was from what I remember, it was a pretty big injury.
The whole time?
Most of the time.
I see.
I think that that's what... I don't know. I read something
there's
that said he had an injury, and I forget what it was.
There's a point where...
Ankle injury. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a point where you put these skill positions around someone, and then you can't just say, oh, well, they misdrafted. They whiffed on all these guys. There comes a time where you got to go, who's throwing them the ball? And go, maybe it's the quarterback's fault. Instead of weapons. I mean, when you use first-round picks on receivers and running backs...
Well, I mean, once again, then
N'Keal Harry was hurt, if you're going to make that argument. N'Keal Harry missed most of training camp in what, the first 8 or 9 games of the regular season?
So you can't blame that.
I can. I mean, when he came in, nothing happened.
I expected him to be great coming back from an injury immediately.
And there's a vicious learning curve as you're a rookie. I think you judge him on this season, not last season.
Well, I agree.
A vicious learning curve for a wide receiver?
In this offense, if you're a rookie, absolutely.
Yes, in this offense. You think if N'Keal Harry plays for another team that he's better?
Yes.
Do you think
but you're
if he plays for the Ravens
that
he's better?
It's not Brady's fault. It's that he wasn't on the same page. He had to learn all this
stuff.
No,
it's Brady's fault because Brady does not make any kind of he doesn't acquiesce to the talent around him.
But that doesn't mean that he's in decline. That might mean that the system isn't conducive to new players.
I don't know. Brady had a season where they won where he was throwing to cornerbacks. So things have changed. I mean, if you take a big kid who can run and you can't simplify anything for him, then that's your fault.
That's not his talent.
Yeah, the difference is, Fred, the year that you're talking about, and don't forget he went to the AFC Championship game with crap wide receivers in 06. All of those wide receivers were there in camp all the way through the preseason and all the way through the regular season. Just in the instance of N'Keal Harry, I think this season, this second season, is a do-over for him, assuming he's healthy.
Okay, if I took a first-round pick on a receiver, I'm going to simplify, and I can't get him the ball, I'm going to simplify the offense for him just a little bit. Do something to get the ball in his hands.
But does that mean he's less talented? Does that mean Brady's less talented? He's declining? No. That is a system thing. That is not you're declining in your athleticism.
Perhaps he's not talented enough to do what's required of him.
That's smart
anymore.
Enough. Not talented enough. Like if they were
not
wise
N'Keal
enough.
Harry. Great. Okay, if I have Steph Curry on my team, and my team is based around the low post game, I change my game plan. They don't. I mean, you have to acquiesce sometimes to this young talent.
Right. You're exactly right. But that doesn't make Draymond Green less talented. You see what I mean? It's like just because the system's bad doesn't mean another player on the team isn't less talented. Like,
you don't think Brady's less talented than he was three years ago?
He's in decline. I think he didn't have a good season, but you can't blame that directly on him. He had nobody to throw to. How many times did you see his hand? You know, balls right in Edelman's hands where he dropped them.
Well,
there
if the problem was Edelman, that's
back.
The only guy he'd throw to.
What's
so,
that?
I mean, if the problem's Edelman, it's the only guy he would throw to. So, I mean,
yeah, that says something
Edelman
about the
now?
Talent around him. No one else would get on the same page or was good enough.
Are you saying, Rich, he's as good now as he was 5 years ago?
No, of course not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you're right. He didn't have the weapons. I didn't think Sanu was very good even when he was healthy. And obviously Edelman had an off year and he was banged up too. But if you look at Brady's numbers throughout the season, he was good at times and he was lousy at times. He can still turn it on, but not for a whole season. All of the last 20 years have been based on a revolving door of talent around Brady, but Brady was the constant. He was able to lift the team on his shoulders and carry them. That is not the case anymore.
And Fred, you're right to an extent. I think that if you have a system that's tough for these young guys to learn, you know, that's on Brady and Josh McDaniels to figure something out, but that doesn't mean that Tom Brady doesn't have the talent to still be able to get the ball where it needs to be.
Agreed? By the way, have you seen this wonderful call screener that Nick Jamelli has put up there?
I set that up.
Oh, you do? Oh, you
it's
set
a Google
that up?
Docs. It's like the only way we can do it.
Okay.
I mean, there's the only way. I mean, there's really no other way to be able to see it.
Okay.
Why?
Just I thought it was fairly ghetto, but I mean, I guess it's the only way.
You just took away a 5-minute rant.
I set it up at the beginning of the show. I'm like, I have no idea how to see who's on the phone, and I'm like, well, let's just do a Google Docs thing. It seems to work.
We've been inundated with calls.
Fred, we're working on that technology, Fred.
All right, thank you.
To try and get it up.
Thank you, Dan. All right, what's coming up, Bridge?
All right, let's get to what the NBA is doing to try to figure this whole thing out. They've got some contingency plans as to how the season might end.
All right, we'll be right back.
Tom.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Do we have this thing where someone goes into the bathroom mic'd up?
No, hang on. That clip we played like 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
So this dude, Rex Chapman, it's a Twitter, it's not the Rex Chapman, it's some Twitter account named Rex Chapman, and he just tweets out viral videos. And he does this stupid stuff to try to get retweets that capitalize on whatever's going on. That guy, so it's a great clip. We played it a long time ago. It's a guy who leaves a mic on, just like from The Naked Gun, goes to the bathroom and like poops and makes a bunch of fart noises and stuff like that, and the whole place laughs. And we played it, and it was amazing. It was great. We played it 2 years ago. So this clip about a month ago surfaced back up because this Rex Chapman guy goes, hey, look at this. And all of a sudden, all these blogs are writing about it. And I'm like, guys, this is like a two-year-old clip, but I didn't want to be that guy. And now this morning, he tweets it out and he goes, at a coronavirus meeting, this person leaves his mic on. This is the same clip, but he's just trying to get more like likes and retweets by calling it a coronavirus meeting.
Okay.
So this guy's kind of a douchebag. So it's like this guy named Rex Chapman, whatever, just puts all this stuff out there viral. That clip, it's great. But we played it 2 years ago. We laughed our butts off. I mean, if you want to replay it, fantastic.
No,
I just don't
want to
give this guy the time of day, even though
That's all right. But I just didn't remember it. I can just watch it on my own. But
it's great.
He takes a dump?
So he leaves this like city council meeting and it's just like The Naked Gun. He forgets to take his lapel mic off and you can hear him just like unloading and like the people who are speaking in front
now,
of the city
peeing,
council.
Or is he taking a crap?
I think you can hear both. And the people, oh, we'll play it. Screw it. We'll play it. It's great. I mean, as I said, it's amazing. And the people who are speaking at the city council meeting can't keep it together. So, I mean, there is no fart court necessary. He's guilty on all charges.
Can you imagine being that
brief.
Dumb?
Is that it?
I'll try and keep this brief.
You know what? Save it. We'll play it later. Okay, screw it. Play it now. Who cares?
Labor all the details. I'm sure most of you remember Mr. Guest's presentation from last time, and I imagine he's going to hit some of the highlights here in a minute. But the thing is that these deadly infections, there's something we can do about it. And what we can do is call on governmental representatives that are higher.
One.
Up the chain of
Hang on. Stop.
It can't be real.
That is altered.
That's altered.
That's not the original.
No, because that's not the way things work.
Somebody put in fake fart noises into that. They didn't need to. The original is amazing. Like, who did that? Somebody completely... Okay, because you could hear the real urine stream in the background. Now, that's real.
The fact that you know this is frightening.
Yeah, that's not real.
Yeah, no one farts that many times in a row.
No, that's... Okay. Find the original, because the original's glorious. You didn't need... You know what you did? You made Blues Brothers 2000. That's what you did there. The original was perfect, and you had to make some sequel and like try to gussy it up. It didn't need that. It was perfect as is.
Because even if you farted once, that would be great.
And it was like a pee fart, which makes it 10 times funnier. It's like the one that goes, almost like it starts the stream. It's like the starting gun in a race.
There's people that do that in the bathroom at work. They just go in there.
When one causes
pain.
The other?
Yeah, and they just loosen up. They just have the time of their lives. They're just in there. And then they don't even, you look at them, they don't even have a reaction. They're just like, this is the place that I'm going to do it.
Those are the best. You're standing next to a guy at, like, the stall, and And, like, he's doing it while he's peeing, too. Like, and it kind of just, like, triggers everything.
Yeah, and then you look at the guy, and the guy's just like, business as usual. Well, we just farted right in front of me.
Up the chain of...
Yeah, no one can fart that many times in a row. No, it's physically impossible.
As I said, the original is already perfection. Why screw up a good thing?
Yeah, sometimes less is more.
But listen, hey, thanks to all of our listeners who sent it to me. They're always on the lookout for a good fart court. That, unfortunately, is something we have explored before. That is, we have ruled already that, yes, indeed, that is a fart.
Yes. Yes.
But it's good to be back on the air.
This guy Rex Chapman has got 2.1 million views on this.
Yeah, he's like a viral video guy.
Yeah, he's, I'll tell you, he's no, I mean, he's a fraudulent, he's a fraud.
You're a fraud, I tell you.
Up the chain of...
I mean, that's a B. Dude, that's like a B.
There's no way that... Yeah, that's not how things work. Ladies, if you're listening, that's not how things work.
No. I bet ladies are just as gross.
Ew, no.
Yeah.
I bet you they are.
Yes, they are.
No.
I got a weird feeling that you do not want... Like, the women... You know what? The women's restroom is probably the grossest place on the planet.
Nope.
You think it's all just like flowers and roses?
I don't even think there's a bathroom. I don't even think there's toilets in there. It's just a place to do your makeup. It's exactly what I'm saying.
It's just kind of like the word where something like osmosis, it just leaves their body?
Yeah. I don't believe that women go to
silent
the bathroom.
Silent but deadly, my friend. Trust me.
Well, I don't think there's any silence.
John, I'm sure your wife is thrilled.
She knows.
She's thrilled that you're...
John, your wife's talking... Hey, John's wife. He's talking about your farts right now.
My phone just went off. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm screwed. All right, good. Let's go to commercial.
He's just talking about his wife. Said silent but deadly.
Yeah.
It's getting hot in here.
All right.
It's disgusting talk.
We've been in the bunker too long.
All right. Well, all right. We'll be back. No commercials, just the headlines. We have Ted Johnson coming in.
One. Up the chain of...